turn with me to Luke chapter 11. And we'll be reading this passage and talking about this passage. Okay. All right, Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Now apparently, religious teachers of that time would teach their students, that is, their disciples, how to pray their way, like a certain way. So John the Baptist, that's the John that his disciples are talking about, John the Baptist had disciples of his own, and apparently he taught them how to pray a certain way. Now Jesus' disciples are asking Jesus, "Jesus, teach us how you pray. Teach us your way of praying." Verse 2, Jesus says to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Now, this is a prayer that he actually tells his disciples to pray, and it's very instructive. So instructive, actually, that many of us have memorized it, and it's actually called the Lord's Prayer. But an interesting thing is that what he prays here actually isn't all that unique. That is, you can find other written prayers from Jesus' time that say similar things. So what really makes this Jesus' prayer? Like, what am I going to learn from Jesus about prayer that I can't learn from John the Baptist, that I can't learn from somewhere else? And today, too, see, all kinds of people pray in all kinds of ways, right? So we have Muslims who pray very religiously. Many Muslims are motivated by a desire for a deeper and deeper submission to God, so they pray, they fast. Many Hindus, they follow a way of like bhakti, it's called, which is really a beautiful term. It's like this intense emotional attachment to like one particular god. So it's sort of like a temporary monotheistic kind of way of thinking as a way to bliss. And some Christians actually from a Hindu background can call following Jesus Christian bhakti, you know. And otherwise, secular people too, they meditate. They do spiritual things. They try to improve their chi. They try to have wholeness and connection between body and mind and spirit. They're motivated by a desire for like physical, mental, emotional well-being. And so you have all kinds of people praying in different ways. So let's continue here. What's distinctive about Jesus' way of praying? How does he answer the disciples' question, "Jesus, teach us to pray like you pray"? Let's continue. We'll read verses 5 to 8 here. And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." So this here is Jesus telling like an absurd story. It's kind of a silly story. He says, imagine someone arrives to visit you in the middle of the night. See, now in Jesus' culture, it was a big deal to show hospitality to guests, no matter what time they came over. Right? There are no hotels or anything like that. People depended on the hospitality of people. Now, in Jesus' culture there, you know, so they can come at any time. And if you don't have food, that's trouble, because you need to be able to provide stuff. You'd have bread, maybe some meat out, you know, but the more the better. If someone came to you even at a late hour, it wouldn't be like, "Oh, you're hungry? Here's my leftover apple from lunch." That does not fly. No, you give them good stuff. So Jesus says, okay, this is a silly story. This is crazy. Imagine someone actually comes to your house and you don't have any good food. You don't have anything to offer them. You don't have bread. You don't have, like, Sara Lee pound cake. You don't have Senka. You don't... Anyway, so like old school, Senka. And then you go to your friend's house. You can Google it. So you go to your friend's house next door, and this guy, this friend who lives next door to you, actually is one of your closest friends. And you go to your friend, and you say to him, hey, can I have that extra bread that you have at home so I can give it to the guests like we're supposed to? And what do you expect them to say? Yeah, I mean, you expect them to say, sure, Carl, have these pieces of bread. I also have some other stuff. I have some. Do you need some Sara Lee pound cake? You need some Senka? I have some of that stuff. No problem. But Jesus tells here a very silly, kind of hilarious story. What happens in his story is that the friend says, sorry, door is closed. Kids with me in bed. You know, you know, he's like sleeping, snoring, pretending to sleep. And yeah, their kids are, so it's like a little advertisement for co-sleeping here. That's for the young parents. Yeah, co-sleeping, yeah. It's like, this is what Jesus did. Anyway, you have this friend, and Jesus says, yeah, this friend decides not to give him anything. But this is the thing. You need the bread so much that you keep knocking on your friend's door, and finally he gets up and is like, fine, here's your bread. And I think as Jesus is telling the story, people are sort of cracking up. Because it's a hilarious story. It's silly. It's absurd. Like, no friend would do that. That's just craziness. And then this is what Jesus says. See, even a really bad, selfish friend like that in my absurd story, who's too into co-sleeping, will still get up and give what you need. Even a bad friend like that will still end up getting up to give you what you need. Do you think God is a good friend to you or a bad friend? And he's a good friend. So he says, ask, seek, knock. And then he tells another story, right? He says, actually, let's read verse 9 again. I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. And he's talking about prayer. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open. All right, so here's the second story. Second absurd story is in verses 11 and 12. Jesus says, what father among you? So maybe he says, hey, who's a father here? And you're like, people raise their hand. Hey, I'm a father. Yeah, I just had a baby. I'm a father. Okay, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Now, I think we read this, and we sort of read this very seriously. Yes, asked for a fish, got a snake. You know, asked for an egg, got a scorpion. But I have to imagine that when Jesus is saying this, it's kind of hilarious. It's like very random, like his choice. Like, what if one of your children asks for a fish? Who will give him a, like, snake? Like, what snake? Scorpion, what? But this is very funny. And he says, all right, who's the father here? Let's say one of your kids asks for a fish to eat, and they eat a lot of fish at that time where Jesus lived, probably a lot more than we do. Which one of you will say, here you go, and give your kid a poisonous snake? I think this is really funny. Anyway, maybe I'm the only one. I'm just like reading this. Like, ah, ha, ha. Anyway, that's so random. Anyway, and then Jesus says more. How about if your kid asks for an egg to eat? How many of you will say, sure, here's your scorpion? That is absurd. That's silly. And this is what verse 13 says. If you then, Jesus continues, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Jesus says, look, you guys are not perfect fathers. but even you guys who are pretty bad fathers, even you guys won't do stuff like this, giving a scorpion instead of an egg. So do you think God is a bad father? Do you think God is a worse father than you are? No. Is he a good father? Yes. He's a good father. And it's the opposite of that crazy stuff he just said. You ask for a fish or an egg, he'll give you something so good. He'll give you something so much better than the best fish or the best egg you could find. What is that something? And let's read 11:13 again. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, it's really important for us to know that we're not naturally friends of God. We're not like born being friends of God. We were created by God, yes. And in that way, we are his offspring. Yeah, God created all of us. But we're not connected to him as like children to Father naturally or by birth. Now, we're friends of God and we're actually children of God. God is our Father only because Jesus is a friend of God first. And because Jesus calls God Father first, and now Jesus has shared his Father with us. So it takes some discipline for us not to just picture our, when we read this passage, just to picture our ideal friend, our ideal father, and just assume God is like that. So, you think, you're reading this, and you're like, okay, my ideal father teaches me how to play baseball. So God will, as a good father, will teach me how to play baseball. Like, we can't make that jump. All right, maybe not. Maybe he won't play. He won't teach you baseball. I guess he could, but maybe he won't. So what we want to do is think, what did it mean to Jesus? What did it mean to Jesus? Not just to me, but what did it mean to Jesus that God was a good friend to him? What did it mean to Jesus that God is a good father to him? And that's a really, really important question, because what it meant to Jesus is what it has to mean to us. See, we are God's children only because Jesus is our big brother. Because Jesus is our one connection to God and the reason that we know anything about God at all. So we want to know how God is there for us the same way that Jesus knew God was there for him. We want to know that God is our Father the same way that Jesus knew that God was his Father. So that's what we're going to ask. What did it mean to Jesus that God is a good friend and a good Father to him? And I think what he's saying in Luke chapter 11, this passage that we read, is that when he prayed, he was sure that God was listening. When he prayed, he was sure that God was listening, and he was sure that God would give him his best. Jesus, teach us how to pray your way. How do you pray your way? How can we pray like you do? And Jesus gives some words, but the heart of his teaching is this. When you pray, and you want to pray like me, I mean, there's a lot of people who pray, and they pray all kinds of ways, but if you want to pray like I pray, make sure you know when you're praying. Make sure you're certain that God is listening to you, that God cares for you, and that God gives his best to you. Amen? I think this is very important. Now, by the way, and his best is the Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about that next week, actually. But this is really important teaching for some of us, because I think some of us, maybe all of us at some time, are not totally sure that God is indeed listening when we pray. And I feel that God's heart swells with sadness at this. Maybe some of us think, well, maybe we're not praying the right way. You know, maybe we're not praying with enough faith. Maybe we're not using the right body posture. You know, like there have been times, actually for me too, when I've been in bed at night and I pray and I'm like laying down and praying, and I thought, oh man, maybe God won't hear me the same way if I'm laying down. So I better sit up or like kneel or, you know, whatever. I mean, yeah, maybe kneeling might be better at times than laying down so you won't fall asleep or whatever. But Jesus never really taught that our physical posture was that crucial. Jesus prayed standing, he prayed face down, but either way, what he prayed, the way he prayed was knowing that God is his friend and father, and God heard him because of that. You know, whatever position, you know, I mean, a lot of spiritualities use different body positions, like tree position, whatever, you know, all kinds of positions to connect us to God, but Jesus says, that's not what connects you to God. I mean, position yourself however you want. What really matters is that you know that God is your Father. That's a Christian way to pray, that you know God is your Father because He is my Father and I'm sharing Him with you. Some of us might think, you know, maybe I need to be an expert to pray. You know, like an expert in prayer to pray. You know, I need to have a perfect prayer. The thing is, no, you don't. And I can tell you from experience that God is very gracious. You know, and I've prayed some stupid prayers in the past, like bad prayers, I guess. I'm embarrassed about things that I have asked God for in my life. You know, like, God, let her say yes when I ask her out, you know, or whatever. God, help the Packers injuries be healed this week. You know, God, let my parents not kill me for missing my curfew. And the thing is, yeah, these are like stupid prayers. But God never turned me away from himself. You know, he didn't give me these things, thankfully, but he's given, or some of these things, thankfully, but he's given, well, Packers, you know, they're all right. But but he's given his Holy Spirit, you know. And the thing is, prayer can be fancy. You know, you can pray things like what we pray sometimes, most merciful God, nothing is hidden from you. Man, it's a beautiful prayer. It's a very poetic language. It can be not fancy. You can say, God, my friend was sad today. Father, I'm nervous about a presentation. Father, something has to happen for our black people in our country. Like simple prayers. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to use fancy words. What Christian prayer is isn't a matter of like fanciness or being eloquent. Christian prayer is knowing that God is our friend and Father. He's a good friend and He's a good Father. And He's there for us the same way He was there for Jesus. Some of us might feel like, well, even if God is listening, prayer doesn't maybe accomplish anything. Maybe it doesn't really mean too much because we sort of think if we prayed more than we do, things actually wouldn't be that different. And Jesus did not think this way. And He teaches us not to think this way because God is a good friend and a good Father. And He's real, even if He's invisible. And He's active, even if He's invisible. And He speaks, even though His voice isn't physically audible. You can look at a prayer like Psalm 22, which is an incredible prayer that the early church saw as a prayer of Jesus. It starts, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you? And maybe this is your prayer. It hurts you, maybe, that God hasn't answered particular prayers yet. And the thing is, Jesus knows what that feels like. And Jesus never stopped praying. Jesus never doubted that God was a good friend to him, a good father to him. And as his people, as his little brothers and sisters, he's telling us to follow himself. We follow our big brother, Jesus. Again, the disciples asked Jesus, his disciples asked Jesus, Jesus, how do we pray like you? How do we pray like you? Do we have to use certain words? Do we have to be in a certain position? Do we have to be an expert of some kind? And the heart of what Jesus teaches in this passage, to pray like a Christian, is to simply know that God is our Father, a good Father. To know that God is a friend, a good friend. He's encouraging us to pray. He's encouraging us to talk to our Father. He's encouraging us to look to our Father for our needs. And He will not ignore us. He will actually give us things that we don't even know we need. Because He cares for us that much. Because He's such a good Father. And that's what it means to pray like a Christian. Jesus, we want to pray like you. We're going to pray like you. We're going to relate to God. We're going to follow God just like you do. Can you pray with me? We're going to just pray together now to to our good friend, to our good Father, who wants to feel how surrounded we are by Him. You know, how much He is for us and not against us. And this is what Jesus died to give us. This is what Jesus died to give us, to make His Father our Father too. Jesus died to make His Father our Father too. And right now, I'm just going to give you some time, just half a minute, less than a minute, to tell you, to tell God that you know that He is our Father. And just simply say that. We know that You are our Father. We know that You are a good Father to us, not a bad Father. We know that You're a good friend, not a bad friend. You can just say that in your own voice, with your own words. I'm just going to give you some time. It's a simple prayer. Just trusting who He is. Trusting how He feels about us. We're just going to keep practicing praying like this to our Father, and we're going to say some prayers together. We're going to tell God that we're sorry for sins. We're going to tell God some of the things we need from Him as a church, and we're going to project these prayers, so you can look up behind me. I'll say what's in the normal font, normal print, and as a church, let's say the bold parts. We'll just practice with one as it comes up. So I hear you. So the words that we'll say together are simply "forgive us." So we'll just practice it real quick. Our Father, You see us and know us, everything we do and think, for being selfish and not sacrificing for others. All right. Let's pray that together. Even with your eyes open, that's fine. We're gonna pray this together. Our Father, You see us and You know us, everything we do and think, for being selfish and not sacrificing for others. For hurting other people. For lying. For bragging and trying to impress people too much. For ignoring You or making anything else more important than You. Just take a moment just to be quiet before God our Father. God has told us, I will forgive their sins and remember their sins no more. Knowing that He forgives all our sins because of Jesus, let's continue to receive from our Father, and let's tell our Father some things we need as a community. We're going to do it the same way. We're going to project some prayers, and the part that we're going to say together is, Father, hear our prayer. But the part before, Father, hear our prayer, I'll say out loud. Again, this will be projected behind me. We pray for each other, that You would make us know You more and feel joy and peace by knowing You. We pray for our friends in Spain, that You would keep encouraging them to keep helping people. Keep helping people know Christ even when it's hard. We pray for our pastor, Steve, that You would refresh him and his love for You. We pray for our people in our lives who are far from You, that You would bring them close to You. Please help us to live like Jesus, sacrificing for others, caring for people who don't get much care, and making You the most important thing. Amen. I invite you to keep praying. If you have other needs, other things in your mind, you want